you would turn to Lamentations chapter 3. That's where we're going to be this morning. Lamentations is in the Old Testament right after the book of Jeremiah. And here's my thought. I was just thinking as I was sitting there, you know, if the Lord would speak a word to you, do you have a pencil and paper with you this morning to write it down so that not only would it be good today, it would be good during the week when you really need it the most. So I would encourage you sometimes to take notes on what God is saying. When you sit under a teacher, you take notes. When you sit under someone that has wisdom, you take notes. And when the Lord says something to you in the service, you wanna write it down so that you can have it. So I'm going to be sharing some scriptures with you this morning and. Write them down so that you can have it during the week. And Wednesday was All Saints Day. Did you feel it? Wednesday was All Saints Day. I don't. Some of you got that. I don't usually preach the church calendar often because if you went by those things, almost every week. Your sermon would be dictated to you what you're going to be preaching on, and I think it's really hilarious this week that All Saints Day came right after Halloween. I think it's funny that it would come right after, and Halloween has become so commercialized that All Saints Day is overshadowed Halloween in the Western culture, at least, is all about candy. It's all about costumes. It's all about coming up with the most original way to scare someone. And they play all of the Halloween themes songs. Michael Jackson's Thriller, Monster Mash, all of these things. They show the movie Ghostbusters 1,000 times. You know, it seems like during Halloween that's the thing that's going on. But Halloween, the word in itself is three words that are really put together: All Hallows Evening. And actually it has a Christian base to it, that it's been perverted, and it, you know, there's definitely some bad things that some people do on Halloween. But All Hallows Evening actually was a time where believers would go and pray and go into the forest and would ring the bells to remember the things that people have done and those that have died for their faith. Remembering those things that have gone before us is one way to remember God's goodness. It's a way to keep focused on running our own race. It's a way to keep focused on our own journey, because a lot of times in our own journey we tend to get distracted. We tend to allow us to see the things going on that keep us in. Remembering God's goodness is another way that helps us when we're going through tough times. It helps us to stay focused not on the situation, not on the circumstance, but remember that it won't last forever and that situations don't define us. Say amen to that. Situations and circumstances that are beyond our control don't define who we are. Too many times we let our situations and our circumstances dictate how we act, how we feel, and whether God loves us. Amen? It seems like when we're going through these things, it the circumstance dictates how we act, how we feel, and whether or not we feel close in our relationship with the Lord. And the text this morning, the text in Lamentations, is a cry for help from the prophet Jeremiah, because he felt that God had abandoned him. He felt that he was isolated and he felt like he was alone in his circumstance. But that's just exactly what it was. He felt like. It didn't mean that God had abandoned him. It didn't mean that he was alone in his circumstance. It didn't mean that he was isolated. It just meant because of the circumstance, he had allowed how he felt, how he acted. Here's what I want you to see this morning. Three-point message. It's typical three-point message. If you were in college, that would be it. I'm giving it to you right up front because I want you to grab onto it. You have to persevere. Quitting is not an option. That's point number one. Number two is the hope of God comes from our brokenness. In our brokenness, God gives us hope. God will give us our answers. And number three, when crisis hits, and then I say, and when it hits, it's not will it, it's when it hits. Those are the times that we need to draw closer to God when our instincts and everything in us tells us to run from God. And the prophet Jeremiah here is a mess. And we're going to see that he's broken and we're going to see he's confused. And yet he has this, what I'm calling an aha moment that changes his circumstance. And when I say an aha moment, my definition of that is the moment that we realize that God is doing something and we get on board. So Lamentations chapter 3, quite a few verses, but what I'm going to try to do is give it to you in little bites here. Lamentations chapter 3, starting at verse 1, reading to verse 6. I am a man who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in the darkness like those long dead. There you see a broken man. There you see someone that is beside themselves. Picking it up at verse 12, he says, he draws his bow and he made the target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mocked me in song all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and given me gall to drink. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone and all that I hope from the Lord. Here we see he's not only a broken man, but he's depressed and he's discouraged. And in his brokenness, in the midst of his brokenness, in verse 21, he says, yet this I call to mind and therefore I have hope. It's his aha moment. Scripture tells us that he says, my eyes will flow unceasingly without relief until the Lord looks down from heaven and sees. Picking up at verse 55, after his aha moment, you see he went from brokenness, he went from discouraged, he went from thinking that God had isolated him and was just out to get him. In 55, I called on your name, Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ears to my cry for relief. You came near when I called you and you said, do not fear. You, Lord, took up my case. You redeemed my life. Lord, you have seen the wrong done to me. Uphold my cause. You have seen the depth of your vengeance, all their plots against me. Lord, you have heard their insults, all their plights against me. What my enemies whisper and mutter against me all day long. Look at them, sitting or standing. They mock me in their songs. Pay them back what they deserve, Lord, for what their hands have done. Put a veil over their hearts and may your curse be on them. Pursue them in anger and destroy them from under the heavens and the earth. I want you to see here he's changed his thinking. He's changed and realized that in his brokenness, in his discouragement, in his disgust that of what is going on, he begins to have this aha moment that God is there. So point number one is this: quitting is not an option. You say amen to that this morning? Quitting is not an option. Oh, it's easier. It's easier to quit. And we can justify it. And we can just come with a long list of why we need to quit, but quitting is not an option, not if we want to see God do something. The Christian life is not easy. Say amen to that? The Christian life is not easy. I think sometimes that the world gets it right when they say being a Christian is tough. It is tough. But it pays dividends. It has benefits. We encounter problems. We have struggles. We feel like quitting. But we got to hold on to the Lord. We have to hold on to the Lord intervenes in our circumstance. Because if you don't hold on, you miss God's blessing. You miss God's blessing. Sometimes people are letting go just before God is turning a corner in their lives. When your strength is gone, God has to be your strength. Say amen to that. When your strength is gone, when you're emptied out, when there's nothing left, the pitcher is empty, God has to be your strength. When it's the darkest, doesn't mean that God has turned his back. It just means you can't see what he's doing. Doesn't mean he's not doing anything. Warren Wiersbe says this, those times when you feel like quitting can be the times of great opportunity for God to use your troubles to help you grow. We've all felt those times, haven't we? I know, just me. Anybody besides me ever approach God and say, why is this? In the time you're trying to serve God, why is this happening to me? And then right after, in your brokenness, you say, God, I cannot do this anymore. And God softly says, quitting is not an option. In Christ, all things are possible. In Christ is our strength. In Christ is our refuge. I that wasn't planned on my end that Josh's offering had all those words of God's strengths to us. But it certainly fit. We have all felt those times. And here's the thing. And why I'm giving you scriptures this morning, why I'm telling you that you got to hang on. Because if you don't know the scriptures, you don't know what you're supposed to hang on to when you're going through these times. At those times you're broken, I can do all things through Christ. You realize you're speaking power into your life. You're speaking victory into your life even though you don't see the victory right now. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and our strength. Always ready to help in times of trouble. Deuteronomy 3:16, so be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Philippians 4:13, for I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, the plans for good. You may be sitting here and you think, oh, that's great. But I'm telling you, if you want your breakthrough this morning, if you want your breakthrough this morning, you need to stand on God's word. You need to stand on those scriptures. You need to write those down so when you're at the moment and the devil is beating you up and you feel isolated, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. There is victory. You cannot stay in that attitude that God's not working. God is working. If you're a believer, if you're a child of God, God has not abandoned you and he will not leave you or forsake you. No matter what the devil or your feelings make you feel like, quitting is not an option. Number two, the hope of God comes from our brokenness. And some of you say, well, amen to that. I feel broken. Now I'm waiting for the hope. The world tells you when you hit rock bottom to what? Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, right? Suck it up. You can do this. all these other things that they use as a word of encouragement. But you know what Christ tells us? The world says, claw your way to the top. Take anybody down that you have to. Claw your way back to the top. But a Christian has to discover that the times that we hit rock bottom is we got to discover who is the rock. We have to discover Christ. We have to discover all over again how He will help us in our time of need. We discover the Lord Jesus Christ in our brokenness. I love this. The lyrics to The Chain Breaker by Zach Williams. Some of you may have heard it. I heard it for the first time this week, and it just fit exactly with what I'm preaching this morning. His words are this. One stanza says this. If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, He's the pain taker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison-shaking Savior. If you've got chains, He's a chain breaker. Isn't that good? I mean, does that not fit where most every one of us is today at some point? There's something going on, whether we have physical or mental or exhaustion or relational, what financial, whatever it is. Isn't that how we feel? And sometimes we go down the same old road asking the same old questions, listening to the same old voice, and there's a better way. There's a better way. Christ wants to help us. He is the prison-shaking Savior that will break chains. There is hope because our hope is not in ourselves. Say amen to that. Our hope is not in ourselves. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and in His strength and in His saving power. Lamentation 3:23 says, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one that seeks Him." You want hope? Draw close to the Lord. You want more of God? Seek Him. You want to see answers more in your life? Then come to Him. Pain will last a minute. God is fresh every morning. And you're feeling lost and alone. The Lord is your portion. That's what the Scripture tells us. Come on, folks. Nobody wants to say amen when they're right in the middle of this. I understand that. There's some of you that I know cannot jump up and go, woohoo! But I'm telling you, God's word is true. He will not let us down. And you may not feel like saying amen this morning. You may not feel like getting excited. And you may feel that your pain has been there way too long. But I'm telling you, it won't last forever. Scripture tells us in more ways than one, we are more than conquerors. And it's in Christ Jesus. It's not in ourselves. The victory will never look like you want it to look like. Hear me this morning. I mean it. The victory will never look like what you're expecting and what you're wanting, because God's going to get credit for it. God's going to get glory for it. He's going to do it in a way that you didn't even imagine. And in your darkness, He can bring the light at a moment's notice. One phone call, one thing can instantly change where you're at. Chris Valentin says this, I love this. We don't like it when we're going through hard times. There is no victory without a battle. There's no testimony without a test, and there's no miracle without the impossible circumstance. No one wants to say amen when they're in that. But the truth is the truth, and it's the same nonetheless. God works best in our impossibilities and our brokenness. God will change things. Philippians 1 says, I am certain that God, who began a good work in you, will continue His work and complete it in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that this morning? That's the Scripture you need to grab onto when you're going through those hard times. Number three is this. When crisis hits, and like I said, it will. It's not if, it's when. Say amen to that. We've all been there. You've been a Christian more than 5 minutes. You understand that. That crisis hits. We need to draw close to the Lord. You need to determine that you are going to draw close to the Lord and not walk away. When we face the unknowns, we have a tendency to run away from God, and it's actually the time that we need to run closer to Him. But our sin, our anger, our doubts, our fears are all these things that pull us away from God. And if we're going to get the victory, we can't go by feelings. We can't let anger be the best of us. We can't let our own doubts stop us from receiving the blessing. And if there's sin in our life and He's showing it to us, that needs to go. James 4:7, starting at 4:7-10, says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and what? He will lift you up. That's a promise of God. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up by submitting to God. I'm telling you this morning, you may not feel like it, but I'm telling you, by submitting to God this morning, you will give the devil a black eye. You will give the devil a black eye, and he will flee from you because he cannot battle God. But the power of God begins in your submission, begins in hearing God's voice. By submitting to God and by coming near to Him, you discover He was there the whole time. By submitting to Him, by coming to Him, by being open to Him, you discover in that time that He never left you. Your whole attitude begins to change. You humble yourself before the Lord and you discover that He's lifting you up. Even in your darkness, even in your tough time, He can lift you up. Even if you don't have answers, He can lift you up and give you strength. When you run from God, not only do you feel isolated, you are isolated. And you rob yourself of the blessing that God has for you. When you submit to God, God gives you His wisdom. God gives you His direction. God gives you everything that you need. Prophet Jeremiah said this, He has besieged me and surrounded me with the bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. After he discovered he wasn't isolated. After he discovered it wasn't God that was doing these things. It was evil people doing evil things to you. It was circumstance beyond your control that was happening. And let me tell you, there's sin in the world. And as long as there's sin in the world, good things won't happen for good people. And bad things will happen to good people. Because of sin in our lives and because sin in the world. He had to learn that those circumstances, that God wasn't against him, but was for him. That he wasn't alone. That God didn't want to harm him, but give him life. Jesus gives us life. He resurrects his people that were dead. He gives us life. The world don't want to see it. The world don't understand it. People make assumptions. One assumption is they feel that pastors and leaders don't have any issues in their lives. Christians, just because they're smiling, never have anything bad that's going on. No, they have Jesus, and they have things going on in their life. They choose to choose joy. They choose to smile. They choose to believe God. The wrong assumption that they believe is this, that, you know, no one else is going through this. And they believe that pain and hurt last forever. Those are all the wrong assumptions. Reality and our assumptions sometimes do not match. Jeremiah that tells us that he wept so long and so hard that he was out of tears. Anybody been there? Anybody there now that wept so hard and waiting for God to do something? But I'm telling you this morning, draw close to you. Draw close to Him and He will draw close to you. God's blessings are fresh and new every morning. Mean that you may be crying tonight, but tomorrow morning you may have your breakthrough. You may receive exactly what you've been needing. It may not come the exact same way that you're thinking about it, but newness is coming. God is working. Blessings are on the way. Jeremiah wrote Lamentations, and he's been nicknamed a weeping prophet, and you can definitely understand why. But he wrote this under the anointing of God and with a broken heart, trying to reach you and I this morning with a fresh word from God. Lament means to be sorrowful, grieving, dealing with regret. But when I look at Jeremiah, I just say, he's human. Say amen to that. He's just human. He went through a time and he thought that God was doing it. He had to discover that it wasn't God doing it. So I'm closing this morning. I don't know where every one of you are at in a journey. But I'm telling you, as a pastor, my heart's broken lately. Seeing everything that everybody's going through, it seems like my phone is just constantly and ringing with people in the hospital, going through hard times, needing a miracle. So I don't know where maybe you are this morning. And I don't know what you're going through, but I know most are going through a hard time, having to make hard decisions. I know most of you are swallowed up and caught up in situations that are beyond your control. But the better part than me knowing is God knows. And he sees, and it breaks his heart. And he's ready to give answers. Even if you see no way out, he sees and cares, and he's not going to leave you by yourself. I remember going through a very hard time in my life. Very discouraged, very not sure what's going on. And then I had these great spiritual people come up to you when you're in that moment and tell you to just get over it. Anybody ever been there? Just get over it, brother. I hated them for it. Just being honest, I hated them for it. Going through a hard time, the next one would say, you know, brother, it's only going to last about 2 years. And then it's going to be okay. And I'm sitting there thinking, what, 2 years, one day, the blessing's just going to fall out of the sky and it's all going to be all right? I hated that advice too. But then I discovered that God is true to his word. It wasn't 2 years. And God miraculously changed the circumstance. I may have hated what was going on. I may have hated some of the bad advice. But when I drew close to God, God gave me the answers. I realized that in discovering that I can't do this myself, that in myself I have to allow God to change my attitude, change how I'm looking at things. So here's how I'm going to end this morning. I want you to do something. And if you don't do it, nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to know. There's no test. There's no, you know, I can see that you didn't do it kind of stuff. But here's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to take those things to prayer. If you're able to, fast a meal or two this week on whatever that circumstance is. I'm trying to lose weight, so my dieting and fasting, they don't mix. So I'm not saying that you should fast for dieting purposes. I'm telling you this morning that you should fast and pray over the circumstances in your life and take that time that you would have been eating and spend it with God. Because a lot of times we're too busy. Say amen to that. We're too busy. We say, oh God, and our prayers end up to be complaints. And I'm telling you, don't take that time as just a complaint to God. But take that time as a way to communicate with God. Because God already knows what's going on. He wants to hear your heartbeat. And if you need to be mad at God, go ahead. Be mad at him. But I'm telling you, fast and pray, do that, and your attitude will probably change. But I'm telling you this morning, that there are things going on in the life of the church. There's things going on in our lives. There's things that are going on in relationship that only fasting and praying is going to solve. Do you say amen to that this morning? That's a concept, God, is as long as the Bible's been written, but we don't do it. Oh God, just change the circumstance. And we're praying as we're going to work, or we're praying as we're going to school, or we're praying when we're going here. God says, take some time, skip a meal, get down on your knees, and ask God for what you need. This word tells us, and let your request be known to God. Take the time and watch God do some things. I'm telling you, I'm watching people struggle. And there is breakthrough. I promise you, there's breakthrough. As true as God's word is, there's breakthrough for us. If you don't believe it, you'll get what you want. Do you hear me this morning? If you don't believe it, you miss the blessings. If you're not willing to get on your face before God and bring that to Him, if it's not important to you, God will get your attention until it's important to you. Until you desire God to do this. And I mean that with all my heart. Would you bow your head with me? Father, we're desiring a breakthrough in people's lives this morning. And I realize the devil is fighting, but we are more than conquerors in Christ. I realize that in our strength we are weak, but we are more than conquerors, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when my faith is weak, He is strong. When I am empty, He is my portion. And Father, I'm praying this morning that we would take You at our word, and that this week we would be on our face before You, asking You, God, to do something that's amazing and impossible in our own strength, but only You can do it. I'm praying for a breakthrough. I'm praying that change would be broke. I'm praying that we would look up out of our circumstance and know that, Lord God, this is only a season we're going through. There is an end to it. And that we would have victory. I pray that for each and every family represented here today. And I'm praying, Lord God, that the devil not steal what You just gave everyone. And we're going to thank You in advance for Your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.